You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Happy anniversary.
This album's celebrating an anniversary.
Yes, it is.
Hi.
Welcome.
Morena.
Back.
Welcome back. Another week.
Yeah.
Another album.
So, tell us about this album.
We're doing something a bit different today. We're looking at jazz. We're talking about legendary saxophone player Stan Getz and guitarist Charlie Bird and their album Jazz Samba, which was released in 1962, so it's turning 55 years old. I would say this is probably the oldest album we've ever done on anniversary albums.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we're going right back to the start of the 60s.
Brilliant.
But this album's quite important because it's considered to have helped popularize what is known as bossa nova globally, particularly in America. Stan Getz was a tenor sax player who was considered one of the best jazz sax players of all time, particularly in the cool jazz style, but also bossa nova as well. He first started recording music in 1947, and by the time this record came out, get this, he'd already put out 44 albums.
Oh, wow.
In 15 years. So that's three albums a year, pretty much.
That's
very, very prestigious, constantly putting out music, which is not, I guess, unusual. Jazz musicians tend to put out a lot of music, particularly back then. But yeah, he'd team up with this guy who's a jazz guitarist, Charlie Bird, and they basically decided to record a bossa nova album. So I guess the question is, what is bossa nova? So bossa nova is a style of Brazilian music that originated in Rio in the 1950s, and it combined the rhythms of samba, which is one of the prime musics of Brazil, of course, with the melody and harmony of American West Coast jazz, or cool jazz, as it's known, which is quite popular in the 1940s and into the 50s. And the musicians in Rio who developed the style basically took what they knew from their own music, the samba, and they fused it with what they were hearing coming from America. So what they would do is they'd replicate usually the rhythms of samba on the classical guitar and with drums, and then the melody and harmony from America would come usually in the vocals, and ultimately with this album, Stan Getz on the saxophone.
Brilliant.
Yeah. So basically, it was a real close-knit community of musicians in Rio de Janeiro, mainly middle-class people living in apartments or on the waterfront. But they used to meet up and play and kind of just play around with styles of music and experiment a bit. And that's how this sound kind of developed, which became dubbed bossa nova, or that translates into the new beat. And it's considered that the first bossa nova track came in 1958. It was called Chega de Saudade by a guy called João Gilberto, who's pretty much, I guess, considered the de facto godfather of bossa nova. He was like one of the originators, I guess. And Stan Getz would actually ultimately record an album with him years later, and most notably the track The Girl from Ipanema, which is...
Oh, right, with, was it Brazil 65?
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is like a classic song.
I listen to that band all the time. They're quite psychedelic, actually.
Yeah.
They get into it.
They do, yeah. So, yeah, the bossa nova scene developed basically when these original players started bringing the music out into the clubs and the bars, and basically a network of sort of bossa nova players sort of grew the scene, and it became quite popular. And just to provide a bit of context of what was going on in Brazil at the time, the 1950s is considered a very revolutionary time for Brazil, because there was the demise of 25 years of state control and a move towards a more democratic and outward-looking Brazil under the leadership of João Goulart. And during this period, it was quite a revolutionary time for art, design, music, culture. And it was all part of this idea, I guess, of putting Brazil on the map globally. And bossa nova was definitely part of this movement, I guess.
Right.
And, it kind of grew within this revolutionary context for Brazil.
Sweet.
So I thought I'd just give you a little teaser of bossa nova and the sound of this record. And we're going to start by playing the opening track on the album, which is called Desafinado. And it's a very well-known track by Stan, not by Stan Getz. This is actually a cover. It was actually originally by Brazilian bossa nova musician Antonio Carlos Jobim, and it's pretty much gone on to become a bit of a jazz standard. It's been covered a lot of times by different people over the years, and incidentally, the Brazilian version of Rolling Stone magazine voted it the 14th greatest Brazilian song of all time. So it's definitely considered one of Brazil, Bossa Nova in Brazil's top tracks. And with this, I think you can get a sense straight away what Bossa Nova is. I mean, you have the strong samba rhythms and the drums, and you have the nice sort of soothing melodies and the harmony of the cool jazz influences that come in the saxophone.
Thank you.
Brilliant.
Oh, hola.
That was really nice.
Our sales man, Sam, just came in and said, this is like the scene in all movies where they go to the beach and drink cocktails and this kind of music starts playing, which is kind of true because this music comes from Rio and, of course, Copacabana.
Yeah.
It kind of fits, doesn't it?
Also, I just needed to clear something up. A lovely texter just texted in saying that I was incorrect. I said Brazil 65 instead of Brazil 66. Brazil 66 is Sergio Mendes' group that was formed in 1966, I suppose, right?
I guess so, yeah.
And Brazil 65 is actually an album which features the Sergio Mendes trio and also a woman called Wanda de Sá. So that's how I got mixed up. Sorry about that. Anyway.
It's all good. So I guess the question is, how did this album come about? How did a group of American musicians get interested in Brazilian bossa nova? Well, this is what happened. So in 1961, Charlie Bird was part of a group of American jazz musicians who went to Brazil on a state-sponsored tour. And this was where he got exposed to bossa nova firsthand. He liked what he heard, and he brought some of the records he heard over there back to the United States, and he gave them to Stan Getz to listen to, and Stan Getz also liked what he heard. And they basically then decided, oh, we're going to record a bossa nova album, do something that we've never done before, but because we like what we hear, let's try a hand at it. So basically, Bird arranged all the material on the record, while Getz was the featured soloist, and they were joined by Keita Betts and Joe Bird on double bass, and Buddy Deppenschmidt and Reichenbach on drums. And with this setup of drums, bass, classical guitar, and saxophone, they pretty much wanted an exact replica of the bossa nova sound that they heard in Brazil. So a very prominent, as you heard in that track, a very prominent samba rhythm in the drums with that sort of that kind of thing. Mm. And then the very melodic and harmonic saxophone sound, which is definitely an aspect of West Coast American jazz, which Stan Getz, as obviously, was very experienced in.
Yes.
So the next track we're going to listen to is a track by Charlie Bird, actually. It's called Samba Dis Days. And this is a much more up-tempo track than Desafinado, probably more comparable to bebop, which is a faster style of jazz, but still retains that bossa nova feel with the rhythms. So, yeah.
Ooh. Thank you. snazzy.
Snazzy.
Oh, what?
There's more.
Sorry, my bad. Sorry, I thought that was the ending, but it wasn't the ending.
Cool. Nah,
oh, that was
that's
bad.
All good. That was nice.
I was excited about it. All right.
So that was Samba Dez Dez. Much more up-tempo, as you can see. But
Fury.
Still very samba-esque.
Snazzy tune.
Snazzy, yes. So the next track we're going to play is a composition by another Brazilian guy called Jaime Silva Neuza Teixeira. I hope my Portuguese is up to standard. Apologies if it isn't. To all our Portuguese and Brazilian listeners.
Yeah, we love you, Fano, sorry.
this is another slower-paced track, a more traditional bossa nova sounding like a lot of these tracks. The rhythms on this one are very prominent again, thanks to the drumming, and which drives the song and just gives off this wonderful samba feel. It just takes you to Rio. You can just imagine being on the beach there and just, you know, lounging out around with a cocktail, you know.
Yeah.
Or whatever. And this,
I don't know why I'm laughing.
This also features a nice, prominent guitar solo from Charlie Bird, who's also a fantastic guitarist in this style. He also had experience playing gypsy jazz and classical guitar as well. So, yeah. Yeah, just like that.
E presto.
E presto.
Oh, wait, sorry, I think that's... Anyway, that's just...
Anyway.
It's a hard morning for me this morning,
yep.
You guys. Sorry.
Yeah. So just now, I guess, looking at how this album was received at the time and also just a bit of its legacy. So the album was a massive success in the United States and pretty much single-handedly kicked off the bossa nova craze in the 60s in America. It went to number one in the Billboard pop charts, and I believe still to this day is the only jazz album to make it to the top of the Billboard pop charts. Sold millions of copies at the time, and with the success of this record, bossa nova in the States just became this massive craze. Record labels really hopped on the bandwagon and released a truckload of bossa nova tracks. Not all of it was authentic or any good, and I guess that was where bossa nova began to become, I think, associated with negative stereotypes of being elevated music.
Oh.
If you know what I mean.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because it was used for that.
It was, and like hotel lobbies and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And a lot of that was down to just a lot of the replicas of the original stuff that was released at the time.
Which I guess, you know, it's very pleasant to listen to.
It is, yeah, so very pleasant.
If you're stuck in an elevator and you think you might die, like, it might be a nice thing to listen to, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just nice and soothing, just to calm the nerves, you
just,
know?
Just, hey, you might
I'm in
be,
here, bossing over.
You might not be rescued. Yeah.
Maybe.
I'd be into
yeah,
it.
Yeah, definitely.
I wouldn't be into being stuck, but no. I'd be into the bossa nova, if you know what I mean.
Yes, definitely. And also, advertising and consumerism also took hold of bossa nova. Suddenly you had everything was bossa nova. You had bossa nova this, bossa nova that. It just became a bit of a fad, I guess, sold to middle-class Americans. And the music kind of got removed from it all. So, yeah, once advertisers get hold of things, you know, they love to kind of push it out big time.
Yeah.
So that's, I guess, what happened with
them. Becomes a mass-reduced product.
Yes, exactly. And incidentally, back in Brazil, the idealism of the 1950s kind of ended in 1964 when a military dictatorship came to power and would rule Brazil until 1985. So I guess a lot of that kind of idealism and freedom from the 50s kind of disappeared. And with it, musicians kept playing through this time, the bossa nova musicians, but it was just a different mood. And I think the genre became less popular in Brazil, particularly as other genres like Tropicália became more popular in Brazil at the time, and became a more popular music form. In terms of this album's legacy, it was pretty much the first fully-fledged bossa nova album by an American artist, an American jazz artist. No jazz artist had released a bossa nova album like this before, and it pretty much is now, because of that, considered a bit of a jazz standard. A lot of the tracks are very well known, they've been covered by a lot of people, and it also transformed Stan Getz's career. He would in the next few years go on to record several more bossa nova albums, including with João Gilberto himself, and that led to the hit for him, The Girl from Ipanema, which is probably the biggest hit of his career, and won a Grammy for Record of the Year as well.
Yes.
And yeah, so it was a massive moment for both Stan Getz and Charlie Bird, and an important moment for jazz as well. Yeah, and also a lot of the Brazilian musicians, the original bossa nova players, they did well out of this as well. They ended up becoming very popular in the United States and managed to go on tours over there. And it was just a nice way for them to get their music out there onto the world stage and get a bit of success from it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the song The Girl from Ipanema is about a guy who sees a girl, like it's about a real woman.
Story, yeah.
Yeah, and
The Girl from Ipanema is a real woman.
From what I know, she was seen walking, and then he just never spoke to her and just wrote this like Grammy award winning song.
I think it's something like that.
He just wrote the song about just staring at her.
I think so. Don't quote me on that.
That's
though.
That's kind of sad, though. Don't you reckon?
It is quite sad. Yeah. Interestingly enough, if you want to know more about that song, there's a very, very good documentary, which you can find on YouTube, a BBC documentary called The Girl from Ipanema, The Story of Bossa Nova. And it's a very, very good film. It explains it very well. And in that documentary, they actually interview the original woman.
Oh, they found her?
Yeah, they found her. Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah. I just thought she was a mystery forever.
No. They talked to her, and she explains the story really, really well. So that's probably worth checking out if you want to know a bit more about that song, but also just the history of bossa nova. It's fascinating history. Yeah.
Awesome. All right, thanks
so,
for that.
We're going to finish with a song called Eluxo, and this is by Brazilian composer Ari Barroso. It's another fast-paced track, and I think one of the good things about this album, it flows nicely between the faster and slower tracks. So you kind of, I guess it keeps the listener on their toes. They don't know what's coming next. Is it going to be fast? Is it going to be slow? That kind of thing. It just starts with this, again, the nice prominent samba beat. With that you can hear those wonderful African rhythms which are found in samba. Of course, samba came to Brazil. It was brought to Brazil by African slaves originally in the 16th century. And it's just a nice classic bossa nova track.
All right. Well, thanks again for coming in.
No pleasure.
Another week, another album. Another album.
Hope you enjoyed that. Yeah.
Thank you. All right. Here you go. Oh, sorry. Well done to all of us.
Well done.
Today.
Everyone.
happy anniversary to that album.
Happy anniversary. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.